Hi, this is David Silverman,
Matt Granning,
Jim Brooks,
Al Jean,
and we're here to talk about an episode that was originally called Bjorn to be Wild, but we changed it from a Swedish guy to a French guy, I guess.
And that was Albert Brooks, who came in and said, I don't want to be Swedish, I want to be French, it'll be funnier, and he was right.
Hey, Lise, you think that's enough for her?
Maybe one more.
I started this episode off with the cuts to the pancakes being flipping instead of cutting just to the characters.
Real French perfume, all the way from Gay Paris, $4 plus tax.
Well, I think there's another great, crazy John Swartzwelder script.
Big deal, dry macaroni spray paint and glue. Whoopee! Dibs, first dibs, I get to lick the beaters. Whoa!
Always nice to have a pain gag, especially with the tongue.
That became a national fad.
Happy birthday!
What?
Here's your birthday breakfast.
Well, I think by this time we had a floor plan for the house birthday? And the designs for all the rooms.
What did I get?
I remember very early on that I really wanted there to be a consistent floor plan to the house and a geography to Springfield. And we drew map. Remember, we had a map of Springfield, and we really had the house laid out. And then we realized that when we wanted a joke where the closet was next to the bathroom door, you know, we would switch things around. We quickly gave up on all that. There's a vague blueprint, but there's a lot of inconsistencies.
The house actually has a fairly steady blueprint, but that we'll change a few things when we need to, especially things like where the basement door is.
Yeah, I think their house is next door to, like, the school, the power plant, and Moe's. Various points of the series.
Good morning, consumers. The Springfield Mall is now open for your spending needs.
Of course, a mall changes whenever we have a new show and we want different titles.
Too corny. Too exciting.
Hey, Jim, that was your line, right? I think.
He never gets you anything you want. He always gets something for himself.
He's the tackle box.
Remember when
Patty and Selma, you have to, you have the earrings and the hairstyles to tell them apart. But actually, it took me a while to tell them apart.
Yeah, I think Patty's the one that isn't interested in men.
Exactly, and she has the roundish hair.
Dining experience. Sometimes she has a pea earring. That's very helpful.
Yes.
It's
an example of Maggie sucking the pacifier all the time, which we got rid of because it became too distracting for the dialogue.
Be right there.
I like Maggie pouring stuff off.
Homer whistling Peer Gynt. I don't know why.
Because it was free, I'm sure.
And the kids.
Fair enough.
And my sisters.
So.
More freakish early designs.
Yes.
Of the
always.
Show.
Always a pleasure. It's a tricky to time because you had to get the joke enough and still pan over and get to the next table. So that took a few shots at it.
You're welcome,
Marge. And here's another little time problem we have with the show. Marge is 34 in the year 1990.
And Bart
is graduated
10.
From high school in 1974, and here it is 10 years later. how old is she again? Oh, yeah, 34.
It was very depressing when I realized I was older than Homer.
Maggie's been a baby for a long time, too, hasn't she?
We talked about that for a minute. I think about a minute and a half.
Hey, Mom.
Should we age them?
I'm not putting on any of my perfume. I'm saving it for a special occasion.
What the hell are you talking about?
I guess it's one of the parts saying what the hell you're talking about is one of the things you get letters on, right? If we
made it any back then, special, now it's considered family entertainment.
Gotcha. Told you she liked mine better.
On Saturday morning.
Hold on now. Your mother hasn't opened my present yet.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy 34th birthday, Mrs. Homer Simpson. Happy birthday to you.
With the waiters just leave, like, that was supposed to happen.
Right.
I remember at the time debating if him giving her a ball that said Homer was too crass, but it won an Emmy, so I guess it wasn't.
Since I've never bowled in my life.
Well, if you don't want it, I know someone who does.
I remember it was funny that the bowling alley was an odd place for an illicit affair, and that a suave bowling instructor seemed like a really hilarious, you know, man to like be horning in on your wife.
And the original idea I had why it was Barney's Bowlerama is that Barney Gumble owned the Bowlerama, and that that was a backstory that we hadn't explained yet. But then I think we switched it, and I don't remember what the explanation was. He worked there, right?
He worked there because we just couldn't conceive of him owning a bowling alley.
I believe his uncle ended up owning it, and they named it after him or something like that.
I'm keeping the ball for myself.
What? But you don't know how to bowl. Whoops.
I'm keeping it, and I'm going to use it. Thank you for the present, Homer.
Greatest possible reading of the word whoops.
That's a nice exterior that Eric Stefani designed. One thing we had a little bit of trouble, I think. I mean, it works pretty well, but the alley sort of expands and contracts in terms of size.
And Albert, who's going to come up as the bowling instructor here, I think is the... Pretty much, is he the only guest star that ever improvised anywhere, you know, near that much?
The only guest star that improvised the full half hour of his own material.
Half hour?
He was amazing.
Or like 3 hours, I think.
I remember speaking to him after he did it, and his thrill was coming up with the definition of what brunch was. So I remember that's what he...
A little warm and moist.
It was a very interesting episode for me because we had a lot of new animators. A lot of them were young, fresh out of school, and then teaching them how to draw these characters was quite difficult because there's a simplicity to the characters, but they still have to move in space and have volume, and that was a big challenge in the beginning.
Sorry.
I remember too at this time the idea of a married female lead in a sitcom having an affair, or thinking of having an affair, was really pretty out there.
And a cartoon character,
yeah,
unheard of.
With the cartoons,
well, that one
been played
that
by
one
a Jew.
Mouse.
Yeah. Well, of course, yeah. And Daisy Duck had a couple.
So
slender,
so
yeah. We don't talk about that. Tapered for the ball you're
using, you need well, olive oil's affections were kind of divided.
No, thank you.
That's a great
Mr.
joke with the shadow over the scorecard.
Yeah.
Jacques.
Marge.
I'll just use my ball.
As you wish.
You know, it is really hard to talk over this because Albert Brooks' performance is so brilliant.
May I ask you a bold question?
When I tell people that Albert did the voice, they're really surprised, you know. No. He just doesn't sound like him at all. It's a great character.
Oh, I don't want to trouble you.
He doesn't normally do voices. I mean, when you see him in his films, he does, you know, essentially speaks like himself.
All right, but I'm not very good. I can hit that one pin all right, but the rest of them don't.
But, you know, Albert used to do impressions as part of his...
That's right. Yeah, I forgot. I was just thinking. But, so he's...
Throw. Throw, damn you.
You're a very good teacher.
Yes, I am a very good teacher, and I can teach you everything. I can tell you what the little arrows on the wood floor mean.
Because we had limitations in the animation, at least in the beginning, we were like limited to how many cells we could use. That's the best way to get the dialogue out is with the way it's cut, cutting to different shots and cutting to singles.
Feels good.
Also, that was the first time.
Now, Julie was at the... I'm sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, that was the first time that Julie actually laughed. That's her actual laugh. She was laughing to an ad-lib of Albert's, right?
Yeah.
Well, all right.
And so we started getting these real cool natural laughs from Marge that became part of the staple of her character.
And they were together for the session, weren't they?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, because we did that with Lisa and Dustin Hoffman, too, later.
Yeah.
Lisa, I'm not scared. I think it's a great chance to spend some time with you kids. Your mother always gets to be alone with you, and now it's my turn. Does the time always drag like this?
First, you must get to know your lane.
Feel the slickness. Feel of course, it's a great ad lib at the end of it that Albert did when he yells four onion rings. He yells it.
He suddenly breaks accent.
Exactly.
That's what's great about it.
Smooth. I also thought it was funny to cut this, just cut back and forth, back and forth.
You hungry?
Yes. Four onion rings.
Not just two onion rings, but four.
Well, what else do we have to do? Well, let's check the list your mom left us. Eat. Mm-hmm. Oh, clean up. Now, don't worry, everybody.
I think this was the way that John wrote it. It's just a, sort of the surrealism of that they keep handing it to each other.
All right, we're clean. Now we'll put Maggie to bed.
Bye-bye, good night, go to bed and sleep tight.
This is something we've lost track of the nightly rituals and daily rituals of the Simpsons. Back in the early days, it was very closely observed.
I'm just thinking how much worse a father Homer has gotten.
He actually had some semblance of how to take care of children.
It's a very challenging hobby.
Sport, dear. It's a sport, you silly thing.
But I think I'll do much better tomorrow night.
Oh? You're going back?
Well, sure. If you don't mind taking care of the kids again.
Playing Homer's reaction with Marge off screen, I thought was very effective.
Night,
that she says a line and you stay on Homer the whole time, then he reacts to going bowling again. Actually, I believe that may have been the act break originally, and we changed it to later on.
It's really for me.
1750. Enjoy it, my darling.
One of the reasons I think the show was so long when we first did the animatic, there were in fact two bowling montages as the relationship developed. So this was like the first montage, and then we had another montage, I think, in the third act. We just consolidated the best gags into one.
Yeah, I remember this was one of those shows where the animatic seemed a little slow and then it really came out great in color.
Here we are.
You didn't have to drop.
It's a nicely laid out scene by a guy named Ishvan Mayors, and he's a very, very good artist.
I always love the moon looking like a bowling ball.
I'm a married woman.
It seemed to make sense, the creators.
My mind says stop, but my heart and my hips cry proceed.
Great pose.
Marge, darling, I want to see you tomorrow.
And the lighting came out really well. I was surprised how well the lighting came out.
Julie's repressed murmur kills me.
You'd love it. It's not quite breakfast. It's not quite lunch, but it comes with a slice of cantaloupe at the end. You don't get completely what you would at breakfast, but you get a good meal.
He's loved that so much.
That was his ad lib off the top of the head.
Yep.
You've knocked over eight. Won't you please pick up that spade?
All right.
And I guess originally this wasn't the act break, but when we reconstructed the show after the animatic, this became the act break.
That's a great image, that last image of the act break.
Yeah.
That's great.
Thanks.
I believe when this show aired, it was number 3 for the week. I think this might have been the highest rating, the highest we ever got.
Wow. Some treats just for fun. That's terrific.
Are you going bowling again tonight, Mom? Oh,
yes, I am, as a matter of fact. Here's more treats. But don't worry, your dad will take care of dinner.
Wednesday, hoagie night.
Goodbye, Lisa. My darling little Lisa. Goodbye, Bart. My special little guy.
It's funny the things that you remember. I just remember going back and forth on the designs of the lunch bags. You would like send something over and fax back with notes. No, make a stuffed animal larger. Because her marriage is
failing. Hey, don't rock the boat, ma'am. Whatever it is, we're making out like bandits.
Bart, I read about what happens to kids whose parents no longer love and cherish each other. They go through 8 separate stages.
You know what's amazing is how the cast really nailed these characters from day one. I know Dan Castellaneta's voice as Homer changed, but pretty much everybody else was pretty dead on. I mean, Dan was great at the beginning too, but I cannot imagine any other actors doing these characters, you know?
Absolutely.
And it's great over the years how the actors have come to really own those characters and really, really defend the characters' personalities and
Well, thank you.
And what they will and will not do.
Marge,
it's great.
Marge Simpson. You remember
me, I think, after we've been looking at the first couple of shows in terms of the how things were on model and off model, this is one of the better, like, on model shows. And I think it started hitting strides on people drawing the characters.
Yeah, I thought in a lot of ways this was a template for season two. The designs looked more consistent and the subject matter was more adult, than some of the other early shows.
Real quickly on Helen Lovejoy, we did a lot of animating, just really quick bird-like animation, just to give that sort of snappiness to her.
I remember that the original idea, the name of this coffee shop is Shorty's, and there was going to be a chef's hat going by in the background of a very short chef. We decided it was too stupid.
Let's hope something runs over her. Your laughter is like music to me. But if you laugh at what I say next, I will die, for I am about to say something very serious, perhaps shocking.
One of the things that also helped was we had a better artist by the name of Mike Gerard overseas in Korea supervising, and he helped pull a lot of the modeling together.
The Fiesta Darius.
And leading into another dream sequence. This was great.
Oh, remember that? The little peephole?
Yeah.
That was a great little joke.
Yeah.
Was the design for Jacques modeled on anybody?
Not really. I can't remember exactly what I didn't really. But
I love the color design on this.
Well, I told the color stylist just put hints of keep mostly black and white with hints of pink and blue to set the mood for romance. It kind of gave a sort of a very elegant, like almost hand tinted film.
You certainly have a lot of bowling trophies.
I remember at the time.
We should do this again. We should do this limited color palette.
We haven't done that in a long time. Yeah, it's good for dream sequences. You did it for Bart the Murderer, I believe.
Yeah, I thought it was just because Fox cut the budget.
Champagne?
Please.
So I was thinking of a lot of those surreal Sid Charisse and Gene Kelly dances for this. So, of course, Fred Astaire type posing.
Yes. Some divine pin spotter must have placed us side by side.
Like two fragile bowling pins.
Standing bravely.
Until inevitably...
we must topple.
After all the complicated dancing, this is a sort of like a simpler approach, just because we're running out of time.
Is Thursday okay?
Marge is pretty hot.
Okay, well, she's a babe.
It's a pretty good shot.
She's a babe.
For Marge?
The way Homer stands there with the rounded, slumped shoulders looks very dejected.
We've stopped doing those head-on shots. That was an early decision.
Yeah.
Remember, when the characters are seen straight on, they generally lose their personality, so it's mostly three-quarter profile.
Yeah. Kind of harkened back to the other episode, Bart the Genius. Same layouts, in fact. Great sound effect.
You didn't even say ouch.
Oh, sorry.
Oh. One of the first of Homer's just dropping down like a sack of potatoes.
Bart, welcome to stage three. Fear.
Well, come on. We got to do something, man.
Sorry. Again, I think back in the early days, this lighting was considered like really great looking and just sort of inspired other things that happened in the second season.
I gave you advice. Get out of here.
Yeah, this would be an impossible story to do in live action for a family show. And
yeah, it'd be creepy.
Yeah, you couldn't look at it.
Good advice.
Well, one of the things I always wanted The Simpsons to be was a celebration, and that maybe because the show is so bright and fast paced, and you know it's going to turn out okay, that you can buy some of this darker stuff. I haven't really thought about it.
The story is compelling. I mean, this is.
But your jelly stays right in the middle where it's supposed to. I don't know how you do it.
Well, I think what surprised people initially was that you could really relate to the stories, where you couldn't to something like the Flintstones.
Time you knew how I feel. I don't believe in
it's true, because they were about real things happening, not about real things that only happen in sitcoms.
Goodbye, Homer.
That was one of the first butt cracks on national TV. I don't know whether I should be proud or ashamed.
Inadvertent butt crack. The moment
of anticipation. It's one of those head-on shots. See why we stopped doing that.
Oh, Jacques, you handsome devil. Look at you. You're really going to strike out tonight!
Ain't you hungry, Homer?
Starving.
Well, then why aren't you eating your sandwich?
How can I eat
Back
it?
Back in the early days where Lenny really had no personality whatsoever.
Yeah, and there's no Carl.
Yeah, right, right.
We used to do occasional morality tales like this. This wasn't an isolated show.
Absolutely. Especially, I think, in the second season. We had a lot of that.
That's a great lead up.
There we go. Here's our little homage to Robert Frost, right?
Yeah, in the early years, I think one way we'd come up with stories is like, okay, which commandment can we think of breaking next?
Yeah,
stealing and not going to church.
Oh, and by the way, I never saw Officer and a Gentleman until I had to do this show. I figured I needed this for the ending.
I also thought that little montage we just saw was an example of a joke only we could have done back then, just all the different shots you saw in rapid succession.
Right.
He doesn't seem to do that job anymore.
No. Well, he's safety inspector now, right?
He was then, actually.
Oh, really?
I think in real nuclear power plants, people aren't usually handling radioactive material like that anyway. No.
Well, I got other news for you. Plutonium doesn't glow.
Well, Al, were you on that? Did you take that tour of a nuclear power plant?
No, I missed that tour, but I know it was some of it was scarily true and some of it was wrong.
The sign on the door that I thought was very Simpson-esque at the nuclear power plant was, if you hear loud intermittent buzzing emanating from this door, call your supervisor immediately.